was out at the dark when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. But then I was ill because the man had a beard and a bag full of goodies. 12 o'clock at noon. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he must have dropped his wallet back dead on the lawn. I picked the wallet up and then I took a pause. Took out the lights and then it cold said Santa Claus. $1 million in it, cold hundreds of G's. Enough to buy a bowling magic car with ease. But I never steal for Santa, cause that ain't right. So I was going home to mail it back to him that night. But when I got home, I bawled, cause under the tree was a letter from Santa and the door was for me.
What's up, Get Home Safe podcast fans? Merry Christmas to everybody out there. It is December 21st as I record this on Wednesday night. We are more than halfway through this final week of Christmas preparation, and here we are on the Get Home Safe podcast for our Christmas edition of the podcast this year. In previous years, I've had my good friend on, Tracy McFate, but I had him on a few weeks ago. Well, about a month or so ago on the Charge to Keep podcast. So I thought I would just keep it in-house, the Get Home Safe house. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Just Merry Christmas to everybody out there as we are here. The greatest month, the greatest season of the year is coming to a close here shortly. This is not my actual living room behind me, but I thought I'd very similar. If it was the house was bigger that we're in, a couple of stockings, the trees, presents underneath here at the Covina compound, we'll say everything is prepped for the most part under the tree. And all we can do is have some hot chocolate here. Oh man, it's really the only month of the year I partake in hot chocolate regularly. You know, when you come home after a hard day of work and it's a little chilly out, you know, hot chocolate just sounds pretty good. So anyway, I've been saying Merry Christmas to you guys for a while now, but as I'm a firm believer in Merry Christmas, not happy holidays, happy regular days, not dancing around the greatest holiday that that we have, in my opinion. Yeah, whether you are religious, secular, whatever, you can celebrate Christmas. It is a federal holiday, although for most of us believers out there, it means so much more. And I think I speak for all of us when this time of year rolls around, you can't help but, you know, pick it up a little bit. If maybe your faith has been challenged or maybe you need to pick me up. I think Christmas is a good time of year. Some people, it gets them down. It gets them frustrated. It's a stressful time. Things are still expensive. You know, it's cold out, at least California standards here, California cold, everywhere else around the country, it's freezing. But, so some people get depressed around this time. So I do my best to pick it up because it does pick me up. It picks me up to be a little more cheery, a little more jolly. I can't help but do that. You know, my Rams won the Super Bowl last year. I'm incredibly thankful for that, but just a horrific season this year. I am grateful that I honestly believe with the season, and I've got, this wouldn't be a Get Home Safe podcast without a brief venting of the Rams. The season was lost a long time ago, but I'm okay. As I said, you know what? I got to experience something great last year, and if it wasn't for so many injuries, who knows where this season would be, but my focus now is on the Christmas season. The Rams, they'll be back. Rebuild, recover, whatever. They know what works, and I think they'll get back to that very, very soon. But it's going to be an interesting playoffs. I'm looking forward to this, man. There's maybe two or three teams that have separated themselves, but other than that, I mean, it's anyone's ball game, really. I mean, is it the Vikings? I mean, how about that 33-point comeback on Saturday last week? How about you know, some really good teams, the Chiefs, you know, struggling, but finding a way to win. The Chiefs, to me, they're the team to beat. I know the Eagles are solid as well, but it's going to be an interesting postseason. And this time of year, for the rest of us peons, our football teams are no good. And for everyone else, for the good teams, you know, you're excited. You're opening those gifts and you're hoping for bigger gifts, right, in January with your football teams. And I would say good luck and Godspeed to most of you, but I don't honestly believe that. There's obviously some teams that I want to see lose in the postseason, but you guys know where I stand there. I'm going to try to keep this extra cheery tonight. College football's been cool having random bowl games on every night. I've been working a ton of hours and just no sympathy, of course, is what we signed up for. We are Santa's helpers this time of year, and this week specifically is our heaviest week our peak season is what we call it, but it has its benefits too, because we're getting multiple meals. We get fed in the morning, fed when we get back from our journey, delivering and picking up packages. And, it's pretty cool. Everyone is tired, sore and maybe not in the greatest of attitudes, but we pick each other up. And in a some small way, we feel like Santa's helpers. At least I do. That some days, some moments, you're frustrated. You're like, traffic or dealing with people or whatever. Customers are great, really. It's usually the random strangers that, are mad that you turned into a lane or something or whatever. But anyway, for the most part, it's been a blessing. This is my third peak season at FedEx, but my first one as a full-time employee where, I mean, we are 6 a.m. to... And not 6 p.m., but about 5 p.m., really. And it's go, go, go. So a couple more days of it. It's flown by. I feel blessed to do it. And again, it's something that I have really, it's been on my heart. Like I didn't know that I would enjoy this that much, and it has its bad times, but I think overall my experience has been wonderful. A learning experience, and it feels like it's something I was supposed to do. You know, I think a lot of us search for that. I know I have for years, for decades, even finding my place in certain areas. And I have no regrets into so many things that I did over the past few years. But anyway, I won't talk all about me. We want to talk about the Christmas season. I'm not sure how long this episode will go. I have a couple of ideas, a couple of things I wanted to talk about. And it was going to kind of be a gift to not just you guys, but a gift to a few, not just loyal listeners, but to a few of my closest friends. I wanted to kind of take this moment on the Christmas episode to talk about a few people in my life that why I'm grateful for them, why I'm thankful for them, why they are a blessing and a gift to me. Not just each and every Christmas season, but 365 days of the year. Well, I'll say 359 days a year, somewhere in there, right? Because the people that we love and cherish aren't. It's not always Christmas morning, if you know what I mean. Ah, extra chocolate in that hot chocolate, of course. Man, there's sweets everywhere, and every December it's like, oh, it's Christmas time. You got to have a cookie. You got to have hot chocolate. Oh, donuts? Yeah, absolutely. Come on, it's Christmas time. What was that? Was it in Die Hard? One of my favorite movies, Die Hard, which our intro music was from, obviously it was Run DMC, but, that movie is featured in, or song is featured in the movie Die Hard, my favorite, Christmas movie and one of my favorite Christmas songs as well. Christmas in Hollis, Queens, my mother once upon a time was from, Queens, Flushing to be exact. So, a little tie in there, nothing. I'm always looking for like little connections, little, oh, why do I like this? Why do I like that? I don't know. I try to have a reason for the things that I like, not just random likings or whatever. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But anyway, I want to talk about some friends in my life. But first off, I cannot help but this happened this morning when I got up. The legend, the Pittsburgh Steeler legend, Franco Harris, passed away at, he wasn't that old. I don't know, maybe 72 years old. But Franco Harris was a Pittsburgh Steeler and is best known for probably the craziest, best, coolest, most inspirational and whatever, most craziest play in NFL history. He did a radio interview just hours before his death. Oh, man, that's sad. What's super sad about Franco Harris passing is that this weekend, specifically December 23rd of 2022, was going to be the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, the 1972 playoff game against the Oakland Raiders that broke their backs on a fourth down play. The Steelers would go on to win the game 13-7 after trailing 7-6 late in the game. The ball that was not even thrown to Franco Harris, it was just tipped out, and he just was in the right place at the right time, picked it out of the air. It almost hit the ground. He took off for a touchdown. If you haven't ever seen, I don't know how you could have never seen this, but the Immaculate Reception, obviously a play on words, the Immaculate Conception, right? Of course, because it is Christmas time, December 23rd. I always love play on words. Some people would, oh, you know, who, oh, sacrilegious. I'm like, nah, come on. That's pretty creative and clever. So, this was, and he died. So it's 1972. He dies at 72 years old. Apparently there was supposed to be some type of ceremony or honoring of or something of this play this weekend. And as the NFL has done a great job with this, the Steelers and the Raiders are actually playing each other this weekend. Most NFL games are on Saturday, Christmas Eve. There's three games on Christmas Day. They're kind of doing it the same schedule on Christmas Day that they would in Thanksgiving. So that's kind of what's going on this weekend. But just kind of sad that Franco didn't make it to that 50-year anniversary. It's like, oh man, that sucks. But I mean, John Madden, was it last year? I think he got to at least see his documentary that, you know, all Madden, and then he died either right before it was released or right after. I can't remember, but Franco Harris, Godspeed. If you look at that play, I've watched all kinds of NFL films on that play. It's crazy that Franco Harris, he's in the backfield. Go watch the play. And I know there's Raiders like linebackers and Raiders defensive players who look at this play and from back in the day who were on that field, and they're just like, this is the worst. I mean, how could we lose this way? Franco Harris on the play, the snap is the snap goes, and he's in the backfield. He's standing around. I think he missed a block, and he's just standing around, like looking around. And so he sees Bradshaw start to scramble to his right, and Franco Harris, he's just in the backfield, like doing nothing. And then he just starts drifting down the middle of the field, not even looking for the ball or anything. And then wouldn't you know it, Bradshaw lets one rip to probably, I don't know who it was intended for, Lynn Swan or Stallworth or someone. Big collision, and the ball just ricochets right to Franco Harris, who was just coasting down the field. And then he caught it out of midair, you know, or some would say, oh, it almost hit the ground. And then he takes it up the left sideline to score the game-winning touchdown. So it's a lesson to all of us that, let's see, you never know when the ball may find you. You got to pay attention. I mean, the lesson isn't to be lazy, of course, but it just goes to show you that you never know when maybe your number isn't called. You know, he could have just been mad. He wasn't going to get the ball in the play. I don't know, but the ball will find you sometimes, whether you want it or not. And on that particular play, the most iconic play in NFL history, 1972, the AFC. I think it was the divisional round. It wasn't quite the championship. I could be wrong. It was probably the AFC divisional round. But Franco Harris takes that. And I think, I mean, you can't help but say, I mean, him reaching down to catch the ball. And it in the old video, the old film, the ball is just, they show the receivers and the ball just goes that way. And then they needed a faraway camera for you to see, like, wait, who caught it? What happened? So the Immaculate Reception will go down in history as, I think, the greatest play ever in NFL football. And Franco Harris, to the legend, Merry Christmas, sir. I'm sorry you didn't get to see it, but we will always remember you and your Italian, Franco's Italian army, his fan base or whatever, up in the stands there. And just a legend in Pittsburgh, gone. Far too young at 72 years old. Okay, what else was I going to talk about? Okay, there's some, this is just something, some peacekeeping, or whatever, peacekeeping, piecemealing. What am I trying to say? Don't know. Sometimes I don't even know. So in the Washington Redskins and New York Giants game on Sunday night, there's a bunch of controversy about the officials calling an illegal formation on, it was against the Redskins, right? And to me, they clearly had five in the backfield, which you need, you know, you can only have four in the backfield. You need six players on the line at least. And it's hilarious to me. There's still announcers that say things like, oh yeah, you can't have more than seven on the line or stuff like this. Like, you can have as many as you want on the line of scrimmage. As long as the numbering and isn't covered up, and the NFL is a lot more strict with that stuff. But my point is, with the official, everyone's hammering the officiating. The players always check with the referee. The wide receivers, they always point or they show the referee, hey, I'm on or off. It is not the referee's job, the line judge or now head linesman in this scenario, to coach you or educate you that you are on the line of scrimmage. You can give him all the signals you want to kind of let him know, hey, I'm supposed to be on, meaning we're not trying to just to help him out with like, wait, how many guys do they have on the line? How many guys they got off? That's why you'll see receivers, you know, signal back, I'm off or hey, I'm on. I don't know how this became a thing where it's like, yeah, you're supposed to check with the referee. No, I mean, in high school, it's a little different. You're trying to like help kids just get plays off eventually. But I mean, you just kind of tap your leg. Yeah. Hey, this is the line. The line's right here. Line up with me. Like, what do you like? Because the point is this, if you're going to tell a wide receiver, no, you got to move up. No, you got to get up on the line or yeah, you're good. Would you tell a defensive player who's pressing a wide receiver who gets up on him and they've tried to do that. They go like, hey, am I good? Am I good? And I'm like, it's not my job to tell you you're good. Like, this is the line of scrimmage. Do you see the guys on the line of scrimmage pointing out like, hey, am I all right? Am I good? Am I on the line of scrimmage? Am I offside? Some guys do it. And you're just like, dude, this is your job. The line of scrimmage, like you figure it out. So it's a courtesy thing. Everyone's hammering the officials. Oh, they told me he was on the line. And it's like, no. Why this became a thing, just check with the ref. Check with the ref. First of all, you can see where the ball is snapped on. If the ball snapped on the 2-yard line, there's hash marks to your right, to your left, line up on the 2-yard line. Why is it difficult? But again, to put something on the officials, that's just kind of what we do in society now. But that's my question. If you're allowed to coach the offense as a defensive player, then would you guys be okay if a defensive player was offside and you were like, hey, you need to back up? Back up. No, you wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be right. Correct? So I don't know how we come up with this stuff. The ref's supposed to line him up correctly. What? The official is supposed to line up your $10 million wide receiver, whatever receivers are making these days? He's supposed to do that? Sorry, I don't think so. What else is he supposed to do for you? Should he also tell you when the ball's in the air, hey, ball! Turn now so that you don't commit pass interference. Is that what they should do? I mean, it's logic. You can hate officials and be mad at referees all you want. I'm just giving you some perspective here. For most people this time of year who are fed up with their teams and are just looking to blame everybody, it's like there's a lot of missed calls. There's a lot of bad calls. There's a lot of bad plays in football. It's a hard game, especially at the highest level. Best players in the world mess up. The defending Super Bowl champions are 4-10. Injured, you know, every player, major player injured, of course, and they've been injured all year. That's a different story. I'm talking about the officiating. So this idea of now, again, high school, it's a slippery slope. You're dealing with high school officials who a lot of them will just be like, you're on the line because you're just trying to make peace or whatever. But like, it's not the referee's job to tell the $1 million athlete, yes, you're on the line of scrimmage. I know there's not that blue line out there that the computers have for us spectators to let us know where that line of scrimmage is. We need a line for everything. Thank you so much for that. I always appreciate when they share with us. Oh, hey, there's two backs and one tight end in this formation. Like, yeah, I can see that. But we're trying to educate the uneducated, I guess. It's insulting to us regular diehard lifelong football fans. But what do I know? I'm just a guy wearing a green sweater, drinking hot chocolate on Christmas Eve. Excited to open gifts Christmas Day. Are you guys Christmas morning or Christmas Eve people? I honestly could go either way. I know a lot of people prefer Christmas Eve, whether it's the tamales or you do Christmas Eve. I like it. I like that it's one big, again, extension. You got Christmas Eve. Hopefully you're off early in the afternoon or so. Christmas Eve celebration with family. For us, it was always my mom's side of the family, we do Christmas Eve. Christmas morning was just us. And then my dad's side of the family, we go see them Christmas night. That's kind of give or take, you know, it would pretty much be there. But I always loved it as a kid because I loved all of it. Like, we get all these different celebrations. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. We get all the, you know, the different. And so for us, we're going to do something similar. I think Valerie and I will do something Christmas Eve. Dinner and got to have In-N-Out Burger, of course, Christmas Eve. And I might do it twice because I got to see my buddies. my good friends Devin and Renzo. Anyone else who care to join when I get off of work Saturday in the afternoon, and then I'll probably do a doubleheader and go back for some more In and Out on Christmas Eve, because it is a Christmas Eve tradition, of course. And Valerie and I will probably enjoy that while we enjoy some gifts and prepare for the next day, the final fixings for our day. I think we're gonna see my dad and my brother in the morning over at the old Glendora home house there in my childhood home, and then we'll come back and start cooking and prepping for some more festivities there at home in the afternoon. And we'll see where the evening and the next day takes us. So it's an exciting time. However you celebrate, man, Merry Christmas to you guys. The food has been fantastic. FedEx has been delivering it big time. And just, we had barbecue today. We got some like pancakes, mini pancake bar or something tomorrow morning. And we got pizza on Friday. I mean, they're taking care of us big time, and we're running that off like crazy. So hopefully we're not gaining a bunch of weight. At least that's my prayer, of course. But man, some of the food that's been thrown out, and some of the food that I've thought about in previous Christmases, the Dutch casserole, which my dad makes, potatoes, cheese, sausage, can't go wrong with that. Of course, you can eat that breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My aunt used to make these thumbprint cookies with like almond, or what was it? Almonds and like a jam. Oh, they were so good. Made it. And of course you can't go wrong. There's chocolate chip cookies everywhere. Everyone's got candy and chocolate. Most people Thanksgiving or turkey, right? Christmas is the one holiday where you see some turkey, but also there's a lot of people that were like, you know, we just had it. We just had some turkey. Why don't we do a ham? Ham is great. Pretty easy to heat up. We had some barbecue today at work. Some tri-tip and some brisket, stuff like that. So you can pretty much do whatever you want. I think we're going to do kind of an Italian thing, because that's easy. You grab, you know, family style kind of a deal. So again, Christmas is wonderful because you can really do whatever you want. There's no real rules or anything. However you celebrate, well, hopefully we get some tamales from somewhere. We got our neighbor who's going to make some, I'm sure. And man, I'm hoping by Sunday night, Monday morning, just food coma, just full of cheer, and rest up Monday, because we all get the Monday holiday off, the 26th, of course, with Christmas coming on Sunday. And so it's going to be a fun weekend, but work to be done first. Got to finish strong here at getting all the gifts out for helping out with Santa and his helpers as well. So I want to talk about a few Christmas traditions, we'll say. Christmas, how should I say this? Christmas memories. A few of my favorite memories from Christmas, of course, was getting up early and going to see, waking up my brother and, you know, going to see if Santa came with the milk and cookies. And it was like the only day of the year where we could wake up mom and dad early, because, we'd get up early Saturday mornings, watch cartoons or something. But that day, they always like, be quiet while we're sleeping in. But that day, Christmas Day, was always like, get up, mom, get up. You guys got to get up. Let's go. And, you know, my dad, kind of like the dad in A Christmas Story, begrudgingly groaned, but he knew he didn't have a choice. And my mom would be all about it, all cheery, all this and that. We'd get some hot chocolate going and, come on, let's open gifts, right? And when you were at other Christmas gatherings, Christmas Eve, maybe with family, or Christmas night, as a kid, oh, it's like, can we just start opening gifts now, please? It would be like, you'd have to ask, hey, how long? It would feel like hours, right? Because we'd have to eat, we have wanted to socialize, and as a kid, you just want to open gifts and tear into it. And that was the beauty of Christmas morning. You're down, you're in your pajamas, and you're just having at it, right? And trying to stay organized, keep the trash and everything in a timely manner, but you throw on the Christmas tree. A big tradition of ours at the house, I've shared with you before, but my mom loved the movie White Christmas, so she would want the movie White Christmas on while we're opening gifts, and then we'd always usually watch that, or watch the end of that anyway, pieces of it, because as you're a kid, you don't appreciate stuff like that, but now I certainly do. And a confession here, as far as Christmas movies go, one Christmas movie I have not seen in my 37 years on this earth is A Wonderful Life. And I definitely want to see that this Christmas season. I'm going to get to it. I told Valerie, I said, hey, I've never seen it. I want to watch it. I know it's a iconic movie and everything. So we're going to make sure we do that here in the next few days. And we watched the new Christmas Story movie I told you guys about, Die Hard. I got to watch that once a Christmas. I mean, that's just, it's legendary, man. It over and over. It's not Christmas Eve until you see Hans Gruber falling from Nakatomi Plaza, and have an opportunity not to work in that building, but next to that so many years ago, working for Fox was always really, really cool. I do miss the Christmas celebration festivities at Fox Studios because they always had some amazing stuff for us there, whether it was a pastry cart, coffee, hot chocolate cart, giant spreads of food or whatever during the Christmas weekend of games. I mean, there was always great stuff there at Fox Studios. But one of my favorite Christmases, one of my favorite Christmas gifts, I think, was what my aunt, when I was like probably 9-10 years old, she got me a surfboard, and we had Christmas Eve at her house. The whole family was there, and that was like the big finale or whatever, you know, you can't really wrap that thing. So someone brought it in and I was all happy and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And so for a few summers as a kid, teenager, that was definitely something I utilized quite a bit and was just thrilled to have that. My dad actually got us the Red Ryder BB guns from the movie A Christmas Story. We still have those, the actual Red Ryder double action, whatever, you know, however it's phrased. So that is something I will cherish forever and eventually have in a corner in my house someday, in a corner behind the desk or whatever, like the old man says, hey, what's that behind the desk? Maybe Santa Claus brought it or whatever. So a few memories there that I just, I'll always, are always sticking with me. I remember going with my mom to a Christmas Eve communion at Rio, at Care, I should say. I just remember anytime there was like holidays, stuff church related, it was kind of like, are we gonna go? Are we not gonna go? And I was either in junior high or high school, and I was like, yeah, I want to go. And my mom's like, all right, I'll go with you. And my brother and my dad, they're kind of like, we'll sit this one out. And I was gonna go find a ride, and she's like, no, I'll go with you. So I went with her. And quite honestly, I had told her a year or so before that we started a tradition with Mark Carson, who was my my coach at the time or whatever, and we ended up going to Christmas. After communion, In-N-Out Burger. And that became a tradition, man. That's how that all started. We're like, why can't we go to In-N-Out on Christmas Eve? And so every Christmas Eve since then, that had to be when I was like a freshman. So probably the year 2000. So 22 consecutive Christmases going to In-N-Out Burger, something like that. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what you call carrying on a tradition, if you know what I mean. And I know Mark was very excited today, actually, Real Hondo Prep related news that senior Ryan McCullough officially signed his national letter of intent to attend Cal Berkeley and play football for them next fall. So there was a big ceremony at Real Hondo Prep today that I wasn't able to get to because very, very busy, but a great day to be a Care. And, you know, hopefully a great day to be a Bear for the Cal Berkeley Bears there with Ryan McCullough signing his national letter of intent. Congrats to him. Congrats to Coach Carson. And one of my good dear friends for a great long time is Mark Carson, and some great Christmas memories with him going to communion, him picking me up before, you know, I could drive or whatever. And started off just randomly one Christmas Eve. Hey, let's get some In-N-Out afterwards on the way home. It just fit. And I've been doing it ever since. Christmas movies, songs, traditions, I kind of explained a few to you guys already, and a few movies that I do want to see, especially It's a Wonderful Life. Some of the Christmas movies that are out now or the past few years, they just seem like the same thing over and over again. Some of the comedies are decent, but they just try too hard at times. And I don't know, if you have any suggestions, all the Lifetime stuff, I mean, or whatever, Lifetime, what's it, Walgreens, well, the Hallmark channel, the Walgreens channel, whatever it is, they always have like the same movies. It's always romantic stuff, and it's always, anyway, I like Christmas stuff, but not that much, if you know what I mean. The lovey-dovey rom-com stuff, I need a little more comedy mixed in with the romance, if you know what I mean, because romance is funny, it's comical, it's two different species liking each other and trying to impress each other. That's funny stuff. It's hysterical. And if you don't laugh in your relationship or make fun of each other in your relationship, then I think you're doing it wrong. But I'm not going to tell anyone how to do their things. You guys know this stuff much more than I do. I'm just surviving every day, if you know what I mean there, sports fans. So let me talk about a few people that close friends of mine that I have so many. I'm going to leave people off here, but just a few people that I communicate with almost every day. I argue with, I tease, you know, just
I don't know, when things are bad, when things are good, these are people I talk to, and some friendships of mine that have really come a long way. Number one is my brother, Sam, who's been on this podcast quite a bit, and I didn't write anything down. I didn't rehearse any of this stuff. I'm just going straight off the top of my head here. So my brother, Sam, him and I were not very close as teenagers, we'll say, adolescents or younger than that. We were like any other brother tandem or whatever, but high school years, we kind of went our separate ways. And then in our adult years, I think we've become a lot more close. He understands me. I understand him. We argue at times, but he's the guy that when something happens, he's the first guy that I reach out to. And even as the younger brother that he is, he's someone I go to for a lot of advice, try to get his opinion. Maybe I take it, maybe I don't, but I do appreciate him being a Hersema man. There's only three of us right now. And my dad, this is not a knock on him by any means. I go to him for a ton of wisdom, but I go to my brother for other things as well. And my dad, is right there. I've talked about him quite a bit too. And just somebody that I feel safe with. I feel safe to, he makes me feel better when things are down. And my brother sometimes will just say things how it should be. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Oh, you're right. And there's other times when I do that for him and we argue, but he's my guy. He's my brother. You call people, hey bro, hey brother, you say that to people and you may mean it, but there's a special place reserved for my good brother, Sam, who has been there for me through a lot of things. And we've gotten through a lot of things together. He does not like Christmas the way I do. He likes Die Hard. He likes being a little festive. He likes time off of work. He hates buying gifts and all the other things that go into it. But deep down, I think he truly he's kind of the Grinch. He's got that tiny little spot deep down in there, right? You just have to pull it out of him just the right way to get him in the Christmas spirit. I know he likes the time off though. So to my brother, Sam, thank you for being there and for being someone that I can always reach out to in times of stress, anger, joy, whatever the case is. You're a guy that does that for me. And my good buddy, Fred Montablanco, Mr. Soccer Fanatic. I love you. You're a great dude. We argue, we fight. And this is someone, usually we agree on most things. And there's just times where, we've both talked. Our significant others have asked us in the moment, who are you texting? What's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm fighting with Fred right now, or him with his girlfriend. I'm fighting with Matt. I can't let him win right now. And it could be on Facebook. It could be text messaging. It's just entertaining. And Fred is a guy that, again, it's shocking that him and I became such good friends. We're polar opposites in some areas, but we agree on a ton of things as well. And he's a good friend. I will say that Fred is a good friend. He's somebody that I can count on. When I got in a car accident a few years ago, he was one of the first dudes I called. He was there, calmed me down. Fred is dependable, but he's not at least in his driving duties, he's not something you can schedule something with, unless it is, of course, a Alpha Yellow Cab or private transportation, whatever he's doing these days. But you can't get any commitment out of him because he's a guy, I truly believe this, he doesn't want to commit. Because he doesn't want to let you down. If he knows he can be there, if he knows it, he will absolutely, step up. But he doesn't want to commit and then let you down, because I think deep down he would feel bad about this stuff. But so many times also, he's bailed on things, or I won't go into specifics. He's my good buddy. We've gone after it a few times, usually during football season, or we've been on some other adventures that maybe we won't talk about here, but some great times with Fred, and somebody that I appreciate dearly this time of year at Christmas, because I'm trying to get him some of his gifts, and he's a guy that just, he won't commit. I'm like, hey, can you come out? Will you be home? I want to give you great tidings. I feel like the wise man out in the desert, just trying to, hey, can I come to you? I have gifts for you, Fred. I'm not calling Fred Christ by any means, but I'm saying I have, I am a wise man though. I do kind of like that. I want to bring you gold, frankincense, and myrrh, Fred Montablanco. Please light up the star so I know where to find you, and I can bring this to you, because I don't want to wait until New Year's for your, I want to be there at the nativity scene. Okay. Maybe I took that a little far, but my good friend, Fred, love you, brother. Thanks for being you. Never change. And I mean that sincerely, even when you're wrong, I love it. I love it very much. All right. On to somebody else who I've talked about before, Todd Carson, a guy, a mentor of mine, someone that was a leader, a coach to me, that has done so much for me without even really knowing it. I mean, he's a guy that has inspired me, not just when we were coaching together, but he really motivated me when I was a player for him. And then when we got to coach together, like bouncing ideas off each other, and to see that he trusted me, not just as a colleague, but as a friend, that was really powerful for me, in my 20s there. And, you know, we're still very good friends. Todd is a big family man now. He moved up to Northern California, but there's not a time that he comes down here, or I don't really go up there much, but where we haven't tried to connect and always try to have a Philly's best Philly cheesesteak, or maybe some In-N-Out or whatever. We try to get a meal, and usually the time is short. We only got 30 minutes, maybe an hour to chat, but we try to bundle it all into one thing. We bounce ideas off each other. We listen to a lot of the same podcasts and things like that. But he's somebody that, as far as wisdom goes, you know, outside of my dad, Todd is a guy that I go to for when I need really good advice. And he's a guy I really can ask anything. And I mean, I've bounced all kinds of things off him. And there's only a handful of friends in this planet, on this earth, that we can go to about anything. And one thing I appreciate about so many different friends of mine is I can go to this friend for this, or go to that friend for that. And I have a wide range of friends, and I think that's healthy and important. But Todd is a guy that I literally can go to for anything. And I appreciate his passions in life, his passion to educate and to motivate others and to be a godly leader, which is his ultimate goal and passion. And he's doing a heck of a job as a father and a husband. And I'm so thrilled of all the great things that he continues to do, and that he keeps me updated about it all too. And just different dreams and visions. He was always a guy that when we were he would dream, he would have visions. And I would be like, come on, man, I don't think we can do that. But he always dared to dream big. And so that is something I learned from my good friend, Todd Carson, that don't be afraid to dream big and just go for it. What do you got to lose? Just go for it, man. Just try things out. And it can't hurt. You got to take your shot in this life. Right. So thank you, Todd. I hope to see you soon, man. I know you're up there in cold Northern California. And if you do get down here, I hope we get a chance to share a nice, warm Philly. Well, we won't share, but we'll each get one of our own Philly cheesesteak here before the new year runs out. My girlfriend, Valerie Burns, somebody that I am very grateful for, somebody that has supported me through times when I was pretty down. And she's someone she's got my back, and she's somebody that I appreciate every day, because I never really mean this. I never thought there would be someone in my life, relationship wise, that could tolerate me for me. You know, I have plenty of flaws. Most of them are lunatic flaws, things people would not understand. And maybe if I changed them up, I just wouldn't be me. I don't know. She's someone who tolerates my flaws, and she rolls her eyes, and we have a great time together. We laugh a lot. There's a lot of teasing. Every now and then we go a few rounds. Not literally, guys, we go a few rounds, you know, jabbing each other and such. And it's been a great time with her. It's been a blessing in my life, and somebody that I see every day, and I get to laugh. And we have some big goals ahead very, very soon that we are going to continue to strive for, maybe not as fast as other people would like, but there's a rhyme and a reason for everything. And I appreciate her that I was single for such a long time and had some bad experiences as well. That's all I'll say. But now it's been incredible, man, with each of us kind of hanging out with older people, and everyone telling us, oh, you guys will never find somebody if you only hang out with older people. Well, we both did. And we both did. So to Valerie Burns, cheers to you. We're going to have a great time Christmas Eve. She works hard at all the things behind the scenes. She wrapped all the gifts, not all of them. I put a few in there, a few bags, but the gifts under the tree. We put the tree up. She's the handyman of the house, the handy woman, because I'm not very good at stuff like that. And it makes me mad. She's much more calm in that area. and she tolerates my lack of abilities there. So, and my football fandom, she knows the cover of her ears. She's so well trained now, guys. She walks, when she walks in the room, she knows when a snap of a football play is imminent. She'll stop. She'll pause for 7 seconds before the play lets the play end. And then she crosses the television. And she looks at me every time like she's angry in her mind. Like, I am so mad that I am trained to do this now. But that's when you know you got yourself a good woman. That's all I'm saying. It's impressive that she continues to do that. She has that game awareness. And yeah, I love her for it, as well as many other things here on Christmas episode, not Christmas Eve, but it's almost Christmas Eve anyway. So to Valerie Burns, love you. And thank you for supporting me on my podcasting, especially the Charge to Keep podcast, because that took a lot of time this year. Every Friday night I was gone, Sunday mornings recording the show, a lot of time and effort that she knew she could see how much it meant to me, how much, how inspiring it was, and just what it did to me. And it gave me a sense of purpose, a sense of joy, a sense of being a part of the team again, and doing something, contributing in a way that no one else was doing. And not to take any credit for any of that. It was just something no one had done before. And so I was thrilled for that. And she, the entire time, was just like, yeah, go for that, of course. And she understood every Friday I would be gone, or Thursday nights. And so very thankful for her. Thankful for the other dudes I mentioned. My good buddy, Jordan Ross, I saw him this last weekend as I, again, trying to see everybody in a timely manner, right? Trying to, hey, what are you doing Tuesday night? Hey, what are you guys doing Sunday night? I saw Bill Barnes. I'll talk about him. I mean, he's a guy that, an older gentleman, you know, could be my dad in age, but somebody that I get along with most of the time. And I love hearing his takes. I love having him here on the podcast. I went and saw him and his lovely lady, Donna, Sunday, for a quick little, just quick Christmas meetup, just to exchange gifts and say hello and go somewhere new and nice. That was cool. So Bill, always a guy that, I know I can count on for a laugh or to, just say things how they are, which I greatly appreciate, and get a little older perspective on things too. Jordan Ross, who I mentioned, saw him and his lovely wife, Yesenia, over the weekend, had a great time seeing them. It was a short time. But sometimes it's not always about the time, the amount of time you spend with people. It's about the managing the importance of the time, or making not the time, the time, don't count the time, make the time count, is what I'm trying to say. So got to hang out with them. And again, these are people that, unfortunately, with some of them, I should say, you only get to see once a year, or once every few months. But I think that's what makes Christmas special, that if you really put the effort out there, that you put your best foot forward, attempt to see people, you're going to feel better about it. It's going to mean more, because if you just say, oh, I won't see them at Christmas time this year, then what ends up happening is, it ends up being a full year again. And then you maybe repeat yourself, and you're like, before you know it, it's been 5 years since you haven't seen somebody. And so, unfortunately, I've had people like that in my life, and that's just, hey, life happens. Friends, family, even, you know, people move on and just do their thing, and it's all good, man. I'm not trying to preach to anybody and make them do the things I do. I'm just kind of expressing what has worked for me, and kind of the frame of mind that I am in here at Christmas time 2022. It's so hard to believe that we are changing the calendar here briefly, in a week or so. And it's even crazier that I'm going to be 38 years old soon after that. So that's why this time of year, football season hits in September, and then it is a blur. It is a blur. You're just like, all right, football's back. Yeah, that's a holiday in itself. And then you got Halloween. It's like, all right, cool, whatever. And then boom, Thanksgiving, Christmas. It's all just boom, 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 boom. And here we are. So in summary, I should say, my favorite holiday, hands down, Christmas, the Christmas season, and the joy that it's supposed to bring out of us, and supposed to spill unto others. And that's why I get so frustrated, man, with this whole happy holidays thing. And you see so many elements of our society that have just gone away. I mean, I think Christmas was meant so much more, you know, 50 years ago, little as 20 years ago. How about 10 years ago? I mean, it just feels like night and day sometimes There's still people that put up decorations. There's still people that say Merry Christmas. There's still people that, you know, pay it forward or whatever, and are in a more of a giving spirit. But there's also people who just kind of go through the motions. Ah, it's another Christmas. Oh, excuse me, another holiday season. And it's just like, if we let some of these things go and just let them, don't care about them, then we won't have, I don't know, we won't have much of a society, and we're kind of headed that way already. I don't want that. I want to, I don't want Christmas every day necessarily, because it won't be as special. December 26th usually is the worst day of the year, because all this build up for Christmas, you open the gifts and then it's over. But that's what in a way makes it special, that there is a buildup, and then before you know it, it's over. Kind of like our lives a little bit, right? I'm not getting too deep here. I need more hot chocolate. And you know what? This is cold now. Is there anything worse, by the way, than cold coffee? We had a break at work the other day, and coffee in the car, went back to the car and came back. It was cold, and yeah, I could have reheated it, but I was like, I tried to drink it, and like, what's worse, cold coffee or like a warm soda? Ugh. Oh, I don't want to think about it. That's like coal and lumps of coal in your stocking, right? Are your gifts bought? Are they under the tree? Ours are. I'm thrilled. Now it's just about getting them out to people. And even this podcast, I was, got to be honest, pretty beat today. Yesterday had something else going on. That's why the podcast didn't come out as scheduled, I should say. But you know what? You got to dig deep sometimes. Wrap that last gift and do what you got to do. To the parents out there, enjoy this time. A lot of my friends and colleagues have younger kids. Enjoy this time, man. It's really, really cool. Hopefully Santa, playing Santa and doing all that stuff, and or helping Santa, I should say, is as fun it is for you guys as it is for me on a daily basis, rocking the Santa hat, bringing gifts to people, whatever they need this time of year, and then going to do that year round, of course. But it's my heart is full right now this time of year. I feel good. Looking forward to the next couple of days. I'm going to be some challenges as well, but I do know that when the sun sets Christmas Eve, the lights are on, and maybe we start thinking about that cold night in a manger many, many years ago. I always get a little emotional thinking about that stuff. And again, Lauren Daigle, that song, Light of the World, really just does it for me each and every time, talking about our Messiah and our Savior and the birth of our Lord, as hopefully we don't forget this time of year. It's a firm reminder to me this season to do a little better, to dig a little deeper, and to try to embrace the Christmas spirit year round, and to spread a little more joy. That's why I continue to do this podcast. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. I will let you get back to your wrapping, to your shopping. Hopefully you're done by now and you're just finishing up the final ribbons, if you know what I mean, the final pieces to your grocery list. And do it right, man. Do it right. Whether it's In-N-Out wrappers, you know, on Christmas Eve night, or fine china and fine dining, or whatever it is you guys do, man. However you celebrate, I do get excited about going to Instagram and seeing how everybody's celebrating. You see some of the faces of the guys there who begrudgingly taking part. There, you know, it's some of these guys, and some of them I mentioned, the guys I care about a lot here. They're just like, oh, Christmas Eve. Oh, that's today. Oh, Christmas Eve. Oh, okay. I'll throw on a sweater. Oh yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, I'll be there, I guess. Yeah. Come on, guys, embrace it. You know, you want to embrace it. If nothing else, embrace it, knowing that it's going to be over soon. How about that? All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Love you guys. I appreciate you. You guys have made this podcast so much fun. I know we've changed things up a lot the past couple years, the transformation of the pod, but I thank each and every one of you for tuning in weekly or whenever you get to this stuff. I know it is just me rambling away, but I appreciate you guys from the bottom of my heart. Another year in the books. It's so hard to believe this started in March or January of 2020. We are now going to be turning the page here in a week, going into the fourth season of the Get Home Safe podcast. That is hard to believe, man. But time is flying. The world keeps spinning, whether you like it or not. It's Christmas once again, and it'll be back here in a year. So enjoy it right now. Guys, in all seriousness, Merry Christmas to you all, and to all, a good night.
the time is now.